They have been taking turnabout, the Kazin rumbled sleepily. A male approaches the female scratching me and observes that he would enjoy the same attention. The two go off together. Another female moves in as a replacement. How interesting it must be to belong to a race of two sentient sexes. Sometimes it makes things awfully complicated.
Indeed.
The girl at the Kazin's left shoulder, space black her skin was, embroidered with stars and galaxies, and her hair was the cold white stream of a comet's tail, looked up from her work.
Teela, take over, she said gaily. I'm hungry.
Teela knelt obligingly beside the great orange head. Louis said, Teela Brown, meet speaker to animals. May you both be... From nearby came a discordant blast of music.
Very happy together. What was that? Oh, Nessus, what?
The music had come from the puppeteer's remarkable throats. Now Nessus nudged rudely between Louis and the girl.
You are Teela Gendrova Brown, ident number IKLUGGTYN?
The girl was startled, but not frightened.
That's my name. I don't remember my ident number. What's the problem? We've been combing Earth for you for nearly a week. Now I find you at a gathering I reached only by chance. I will have harsh words for my agents.
Oh, no, Louis said softly. Teela stood up somewhat awkwardly.
I haven't been hiding, not from you and not from any other extraterrestrial. Now what's the problem?
Hold it. Louis stepped between Nessus and the girl. Nessus, Teela Brown obviously isn't an explorer. Pick someone else.
But Louis...
Just a moment. The Kazin was sitting up. Louis, let the herbivore choose his own team members.
But look at her!
Look at yourself, Louis. Barely 2 meters long, slender even for a human. Are you an explorer? Is Nessus?
Just what the tange is going on, Teela demanded.
Urgently, Nessus said,
Louis, let us retire to your office. Teela Brown, we must make a proposal to you. You are under no obligation to accept, nor even to listen, but you may find our proposal interesting.
The argument continued in Louis's office.
She fits my qualifications, Nessus insisted. We must consider her.
She can't be the only one on Earth.
No, Louis, not at all, but we have been unable to contact any of the others. Just what am I being considered for?
The puppeteer started to tell her. It developed that Teela Brown had no interest in space, had never even been as far as the moon, and had no intention of going beyond the borders of known space. The second quantum hyperdrive did not arouse her cupidity. When she started to look harassed and confused, Louis broke in again.
Nessus, just what are the qualifications Teela fits so well? My agents have been seeking the descendants of winners of the birthright lotteries.
I quit. You're genuinely insane.
No, Louis. My orders come from the hindmost himself, from the one who leads us all. His sanity is not in question. May I explain?
For human beings, birth control had long been an easy matter. Nowadays, a tiny crystal was inserted under the skin of the patient's forearm. The crystal took a year to dissolve. During that year, the patient would be unable to conceive a child. In earlier centuries, clumsier methods had been used. Earth's population had been stabilized about the middle of the 21st century at 18 billion. The Fertility Board, a subsection of the United Nations, made and enforced the birth control laws. For more than 500,000 years, those laws had remained the same. 2 children to a couple, subject to the judgment of the Fertility Board. The board decided who might be a parent how many times. The board might award extra children to one couple, deny any children at all to another, all on the basis of desirable or undesirable genes.
Incredible, said the Kazin.
Why, things were getting pretty tange crowded with 18 billion people trapped in a primitive technology.
If the Patriarch tried to force such a law on Kazinti, we would exterminate the Patriarch for its insolence.
But men were not Kazinti. For 500,000 years, the laws had held good. Then, 200 years ago, had come rumors of chicanery in the Fertility Board.
The scandal had ultimately resulted in drastic changes in the birth control laws.
Every human being now had the right to be a parent once, regardless of the state of his genes. In addition, the birthrights second and third could come automatically, for a high tested IQ, or for proven useful psychic powers, such as plateau eyes or absolute direction, or for survival genes like telepathy or natural longevity or perfect teeth. One could buy the birthrights at a million stars a shot. Why not? The knack for making money was a tested, proven survival factor. Besides, it cut down on bribery attempts. One could fight for the birthrights in the arena if one had not yet used up his birthright first. Winner to earn his birthrights second and third, loser to lose his birthright first and his life. It evened out.
"I have seen such battles on your entertainment shows," said the speaker. "I thought they were fighting for fun."
"Nope, they're serious," said Louis. Teela giggled.
"And the lotteries?"
"It comes out short," said Nessus. "Even with booster spice to prevent aging in humans, more die on Earth than are born in any given year."
And so each year the Fertility Board totaled up the year's deaths and emigrations, subtracted the year's births and immigrations, and put the resulting number of birthrights into the New Year's Day lottery. Anyone could enter. With luck, you could have 10 or 20 children, if that was luck. Even convicted criminals could not be excluded from the birthright lotteries.
"I've had 4 children myself," said Louis Wu. "One by lottery."
"You'd have met 3 of them if you'd come 12 hours earlier."
"It sounds very strange and complex. When the population of Kazin grows too great, we
attack the nearest human world."
"Not at all, Louis. We fight each other. The more crowded we grow, the more opportunity exists for one Kazin to take offense at another. Our population problem adjusts itself. We've never been within an order of magnitude of your 2 × 8⁰ humans on a single planet."
"I think I begin to get it," said Teela Brown. "My parents were both lottery winners." She laughed somewhat nervously. "Otherwise, I wouldn't even have been born. Come to think of it, my grandfather..." "All of your ancestors for 5 generations were born by reason of winning lottery tickets."
"Really? I never knew that."
"The records are quite clear," Nessus assured her.
"The question remains," said Louis Wu. "So what?"
"Those who rule in the puppeteer fleet have speculated that the people of Earth are breeding for luck."
"Huh?"
Teela Brown leaned forward in her chair, intensely curious. Doubtless she had never before seen a mad puppeteer.
"Think of the lotteries, Louis. Think of evolution. For 700 years, your people bred by the numbers. 2 birthrights per person, 2 children per couple. Here and there, one might win a 3rd birthright or be refused his first on adequate grounds, diabetic genes or the like. But most of humanity had 2 children. Then the law was changed. For the past 2 centuries, between 10% and 13% of each human generation has been born by right of a winning lottery ticket. What determines who will survive and breed? On Earth, luck. And Teela Brown is the daughter of 6 generations of winning gamblers.
Chapter 3. Teela Brown. Teela was giggling helplessly.
"Come off it," said Louis Wu. "You can't breed for luck the way you breed for shaggy eyebrows."
"Yet you breed for telepathy."
"That's not the same. Telepathy isn't a psychic power. The mechanisms in the right parietal lobe are well mapped. They just don't work for most people."
"Telepathy was once thought to be a form of psi. Now you claim that luck is not."
"Luck is luck."
The situation would have been funny as Teela thought it was, but Louis realized what she did not. The puppeteer was serious.
"The law of averages swings back and forth. The odds shift wrong and you're out of the game like the dinosaurs. The dice fall your way and..."
"It is thought that some humans can direct the fall of a die."
"So I picked a bad metaphor. The point is..."
"Yes," the Kazin rumbled. He had a voice to shake walls when he chose to use it. "The point is that we will accept whom Nessus chooses. You own the ship, Nessus. Where then is our fourth crewman?